Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1981 to 1985 in the Reagan administration and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorism, Tyrants and Weapons of Mass Destruction. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lawrence Korb.
Nice to be with you again.
And you have an article at Foreign Policy, Hagel's Revenge, How Obama's New Pentagon Chief Can Get Back at His Republican Enemies. It looks as though if he's got, and he certainly has Republican enemies, they've threatened to filibuster his nomination. But just today, a group of 15 Republican senators called on President Obama to withdraw the nomination of Chuck Hagel to be defense secretary. At the same time, Senator Richard Shelby indicated in a local newspaper interview that he would vote for the nomination of Hagel. So the Republican Party seemed to be sending mixed messages. Let's start out with that.
Well, they are, because they're sort of hardline group that basically feels Hagel is, you know, kind of ditched the party. And, you know, this is their revenge against him, and he's become, you know, a liberal. You've got others who say, well, wait a second, you know, this is the president's choice, and unless there's some, you know, moral problem here, you know, we've got to go along with it, because someday we may be back in power, and the last thing we want is people filibustering nominees on the basis that they don't like his or her policies.
So the senators that signed this letter, of course, the main author is John Cornyn of Texas. He's the number two Senate Republican. Lindsey Graham, that's no surprise. And then, of course, you've got a lot of the Tea Party senators, particularly Ted Cruz, who distinguished himself as the new Senator Joe McCarthy in the hearings before the Armed Services Committee of the Senate, where he accused the nominee, Chuck Hagel, of getting money from North Korea and being the choice of the Iranian government. And then, of course, Marco Rubio, another Tea Partier, is on the list as well. So are these people just covering their bases at home, throwing red meat to their Tea Party followers?
Yeah, they have nothing to lose, because they can say, well, we stood up to, President Obama, you know, and let's say Hagel, you know, we're going to probably have to cut the defense budget as part of some, you know, budget deal. We'll have to, you know, run away out of Afghanistan. They can say, well, we tried to stop them, but they wouldn't listen to us. You know, basically, this is, there's no risk. There's no downside at all for these people. And Senator Hagel didn't do that well in the confirmation hearings. And those people that paid attention to and said, well, maybe he's not the best candidate. And they can say, well, we're just trying to do what's best for the country.
So let's turn, Lawrence Korb, to your article at Foreign Policy, Hagel's Revenge, How Obama's New Pentagon Chief Can Get Back at His Republican Enemies. And I imagine that the article presumes that he will get the nomination, right? It looks that way, right? If they've got the 60 votes even to prevent the filibuster, he's all but assured next week.
Well, that's right. I mean, he got 59 last week. And we know Senator Shelby has said he would vote that 60 right there. Senator McCain said he would vote, he would vote for cloture too. So he's got at least, he's got over 60 votes. So he will be confirmed. And the Republicans can say, well, we did our best and, we tried, to do it. So I think it's pretty certain. The thing I try to point out in that article is, the way he was trashed. I mean, it's one thing to argue with, your policy toward Iran or something like that. But, to accuse someone of, gotten money from North Korea and basically going to start a war with Iran. I mean, that or allow a war with Iran to start. I mean, that goes over the line.
So let's go through what you have in your article, Lawrence Korb. Again, I'm speaking with Lawrence Korb, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorism, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. Now, just to further look into your article at Foreign Policy, Lawrence Korb, Hegel's Revenge, How Obama's New Pentagon Chief Can Get Back at His Republican Enemies. Now, this is a pretty extraordinary list that shows the power of the Secretary of Defense in terms of political patronage. He can use his influence on closing bases in all kinds of congressional districts and cutting off defense contracts. So let's go through some of the extraordinary examples here. You know, let's start with Secretary Gates moving the home port for the aircraft carrier from Norfolk, Virginia to Jacksonville, Florida, and withdrawing from Japan and Germany and deciding where those troops will be reallocated. That's just one example, and you've got others.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that a Secretary of Defense, if he were mean-spirited, which, as I point out in the article, Hegel is not, and he wouldn't do that, but I think it's important to keep in mind that he does, you know, have extraordinary power, and he can do those things. And as I try to point out, previous secretaries have done these things, because even though you can't close a whole base, you can move forces in and out. You can determine, you know, what gets on the list, what doesn't get on the list. And as I pointed out, Secretary Perry in the 90s, when they closed McClellan Air Force Base outside Sacramento, basically he didn't want that to happen, so he privatized it, turned it over to the private sector. So, yeah, he can have a lot of influence. Dick Cheney canceled over 100 weapons programs when he came in there. And by and large, the Congress was, you know, only able to reverse one or two of them. So that is important to keep in mind.
Yeah, Cheney killed the Navy-based bomber, the A-12. He scaled back the development of the C-17, which, of course, they bought a ton of them. He halted production of the B-2 bombers at 20 instead of 132. And then Gates, I mean, he stopped the production of the F-22 at 187 instead of 347, cut a Navy ship procurement down from 32 to 3 ships, and cut the procurement for the F-35, which is a complete turkey from all accounts, etc. I mean, yeah. Panetta has done the same, right?
Secretary Gates slowed production, and then Secretary Panetta has basically allowed the Navy to continue buying the FA-18 E's and F's, so they won't have to buy the F-35s.
So you're saying that Chuck Hagel's not mean-spirited, but there's a certain pleasure in revenge, isn't
right,
there?
Right, and I was trying to point out that, you know, while during the hearings he, you know, had to absorb all their hits without taking much, that, you know, that once he gets in, it's going to be different. They're going to be coming to him asking for favors.
So that would be the case with the senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham?
Well, it would. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously he will, obviously South Carolina has a lot of installations, as I pointed out there. Yeah, it's an impact. The biggest impact, though, is going to be on Texas. And certainly Cruz was, I thought, you know, really went over the line. Even McCain, you know, claimed that he had gone over the line in some of the insinuations he was making.
So, of course, we know, not to excuse Lindsey Graham's kind of jihad against Chuck Hagel and this obsession with Benghazi. He's running, of course, against a Tea Party guy, so he's trying to burnish his Tea Party credentials, isn't he? That, not that, as again, I'm not excusing him for his unreasonable attacks on Hagel.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, and, you know, this will play well in the primary because he is up, in the next election cycle, and Republicans only lose in primaries in some of the so-called, you know, red states.
But presumably, Hagel, as Secretary of Defense, could get his revenge on South Carolina, which is...
Yeah, he could, but, as I say, I pointed out that Hagel I know and everything he's done shows he won't, but I do think, I try to make sure people, you know, were aware of that.
And the same would be true of Texas. But I mean, both South Carolina and Texas have an awful lot of bases. I mean, South Carolina, of course, was for years and for decades the head of the House Armed Service Committee was from South Carolina.
Right, yeah, Mendel Rivers.
Exactly. More bases than any per capita than any place, I think, on the continent.
Right.
So there's certainly room to diversify, shall we say, move some bases around, some procurements around.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there is. And it's going to be particularly acute now because we know the budget's going down, so you're going to have to make some hard choices.
So just in terms, though, of how much the neocons have gone after him, and particularly Bill Kristol at the Evening Standard, my understanding is that they've even been up in, they've sent people up to Nebraska to dig through every nook and cranny trying to find some dirt on Chuck Hagel. Is there any possibility that there could be any retribution against them? I mean, it's a newspaper, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, there could be in terms of, you know, who you grant interviews to and things like that, you know, if in fact you were so disposed. As I say, I don't think he was, but I do think it's important to keep that in mind because these people think, well, I can just do anything I want, you know, regardless, you know, even if I step over the line, and then you should still, you know, take good care of me and my constituents.
Well, there is, of course, a connection, I suppose, in a way, to the, a lot of the neoconservatives are sort of cheerleaders from military contractors, starting out with Richard Perle, who worked as the aide to the famous senator from Boeing, as he was referred to, Scoop Jackson, and Cliff May and Frank Gaffney. There's a whole bunch of these people who are in that neocon camp that have been going after Hagel viciously. Could you make the case that they are shills for military contractors?
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that they, you know, get money from military contractors and they want to, you know, push to increase defense spending. And, you know, that every time we talk about it, they, you know, trumpet the findings of the Aerospace Industries Association that, you know, we're going to lose all kinds of jobs. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, the interesting thing is I think that some of these defense contractors are going to say, wait a second here, to some of these members, don't push too hard because, you know, we could end up being hurt if we're in your state.
So you've made the point that Hagel is not a vindictive person, but on the other hand, the facts are that so many of these people that have really gone to great lengths and behaved disgracefully and used McCarthyite tactics, there is an enormous possibility here that this could backfire, particularly on some of these spokespersons who have always been champions for military spending, like the Perles, the Cliff Mays, and the Frank Gaffneys. I'm not suggesting that they're going to be banned from the Pentagon, but you were just saying that maybe some of the people that they've been doing some shilling for maybe saying, wait a minute, guys, and back off.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, these companies, you know, will take good care of themselves. And if you get in the way, you know, whatever we've been giving you before is not going to, continue to get. And, you know, the whole thing is just a sad, sorry mess, okay? President Obama appointed a decent man, a patriot, to the job, and
a war hero, by
the election,
way.
And they're trying to take it out on him because, and, you know, take statements out of context. And I think the most interesting thing happened today when they talked about this, you know, he had been speaking to the friends of Hamas. This guy from the Daily News said he made it up.
Right. Well, but I think the point, though, is that Chuck Hagel is a war hero, isn't he?
Right.
And he served in Vietnam. And my understanding, and you used to be in charge of manpower at the Pentagon, my understanding is that the rank and file in the Pentagon, in the uniformed men and women in the U.S. Armed Forces, are very happy with his choice. He's one of them.
Oh, very definitely. You know, other secretaries have been enlisted, but they only for a short time, then moved up to become officer. He spent his whole time as an enlisted person on the front lines and was wounded twice.
So he's somebody that is going to be very welcome by the rank and file, right?
Very definitely.
And we'll see how welcome he is by the contractors and whether some of them are changing their mind about who they have shilling for them. Well,
yes.
Very interesting conversation. I thank you for joining us, Lawrence Korb.
Okay, good to talk to you again. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration as the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the consequences of the impending sequester cuts.